Okay, we are in slide number 31. Suppose that we have already detected contour points in our image. We have already obtained chains of contours, where each pixel is a contour point and is neighbor of the former and the next pixel. And now we want to obtain, for example, straight lines from these chains. Okay? Well, the simplest algorithm to do that is the split and merge algorithm. The first part is a recursive algorithm, consists in obtaining, try to fit a line to the whole chain and look for the errors in all the pixels along the chain. And if there is some pixels where the error with respect to the line is too big, try to split the line in two parts and repeat again recursively. This can be easily seen in the next slide with an example. Suppose that all the pixels marked here are contour pixels, including the white one, okay? And then this is a contour chain. We first compute the straight line that passes through the first and last pixel in the chain. And we compute the distance from all the intermediate pixels to this line. We compute all distances and find the pixel that has the biggest distance. In this case is the white pixel. This pixel is the one that is farther apart from the line we are trying. If this distance is bigger than a threshold, say for example 2 or 3 pixels, then we decide to split the contour in two parts, the left part and the right part, and repeat recursively the same process with both parts. Okay? Then, again, on the first splitting, we compute the line that goes through the first and last pixel in the chain, compute the distances of all intermediate points to the line, find the one that is farther apart from the line, and if this distance is bigger than a threshold, split again in two and repeat. And that's it. Okay? After 2 steps of splitting, we go to the third image, where when we compute the lines passing through the first and last pixel in each portion of the chain, and we compute the distances, there are no pixel whose distance is bigger than our threshold. In this case, stop splitting, and then sometimes we need a merge pass through the lines. In this case, in this example, the second and third line were broken in two parts just per hazard, just per chance, because this pixel happened to be a little farther away from the line than the rest of pixels in the line. Okay? Then, in a merge pass, we will go for every pair or consecutive lines and try to join them again in a single line. Then, for example, in this case, the first and second, compute the line that joins both lines and verify if the intermediate points are farther away from the line than our threshold. In this case, if we compute this line, this point will be too far away, then these two lines cannot be merged in one. But the second and third line, if we try to join them, we will get this line, the line in the fourth drawing, and the distances of all points to this line is smaller than the threshold, then we can merge these two lines in one. Okay? Going back to the algorithm, this is the idea. The recursive part should be programmed recursively. Simply obtain the line that passes through first and last point in each chain, find the pixel farther away from the line. If the distance is bigger than our threshold, split at this point and call again recursively for both parts. For the merge, we'll go along every pair of lines and try to merge them if the distance of the intermediate points is smaller than the threshold. Okay, after doing the split and the merge, we could remove also lines that are too short, or even lines where all the points have a small value for the gradient or magnitude of the zero crossing, if that's the case. Okay? Then remove short lines. And finally, we could also either store the line that passes through the two endpoints, or we could also compute a better line using least squares, particularly total least squares. Well, the math that is needed to compute everything is quite simple. You only need to compute distance from a point to a line, where the line was obtained knowing the first and last point on our chain. Then really the distance can be computed directly from the coordinates of the three points using this expression, or if you want, you can compute the equation of the line and store it and use it to verify the distance of every point to the line. Okay? Then, once we have split and merged all the lines, we can store the line that passes through the first and last point in each chain, or, as shown in slide 34, we could compute a line that minimizes the squared errors of all the points to the line. For doing that, if you look, for example, in Wikipedia or in Google, an algorithm for least squares, you usually find what is called a regression algorithm or a least square algorithm. That is not what you want here. Typical least squares is used to fit a line to a set of points, minimizing the errors in vertical, in the y coordinate. Because this is used, for example, suppose that you make a plot of the age of several kids and the height of the kids, and you want to compute a line that approximates these values. Okay? In the x coordinate, you don't have errors. You know the age of each child. You only have errors or variance. You only have variance in the y coordinate. This is not the case in computer vision. In computer vision, x and y just happen by accident. If you rotate the camera, the x and y axis changes. Then there is no reason to minimize errors in the y component, but not in the x component. Okay? What you want is an algorithm for total least squares. Total least squares minimizes the distance of all points to the line computed in perpendicular, in the perpendicular direction to the line. Okay? Then, this is more or less simple to obtain. If you have the equation of the line with two parameters, distance to the origin and theta angle, that corresponds to the perpendicular to the line. The line equation is this expression. The distance of a pixel to a line can be obtained simply by substituting the coordinates of the pixel in the equation. Okay? Then if we want to minimize the sum of distances, we can use this equation, compute the derivative of this equation, make equal to zero, and obtain the resulting values for rho and theta. Okay? And with that, you have a least square algorithm. A least square algorithm. A total least square algorithm. Okay? Well, actually, Also, maybe you don't know, you have already programmed this. You already have programmed a total least square algorithm when you computed the position and orientation of a blob. Actually, remember, the position of orientation of a blob was obtained obtaining the line of the edge or the line of minimal inertia of the object. Okay, that means for an elongated object, the line of minimal inertia is the one that goes along the direction, the main direction of the object. Okay, well, the inertia of an object is nothing else than the sum of the square distances of all points to the edge, okay, multiplied by the mass of the points that is supposed to be unity. Okay, then the axis of minimal inertia of a blob is nothing else than the total least square line for a set of points. It's exactly the same. Then you simply take your code for computing the orientation and position of a blob, and if you have the set of points in a contour, you will get the center of gravity of these points and the orientation of the blob. Means this angle. This gives you exactly the total least squares line that fits better your set of points. Okay? Is that clear? The only thing that you need after that is to obtain the end points or your line. You don't want only the line, but also to obtain the end points of your contour. For doing that, you can simply project the first point on the line and the last point on the line. Compute the projection of these two points on the line. Okay? Then, if you want to program the total least squares, you have to figure out how to compute this projection. Okay? I think that on the definition of practical 7, this part is optional. You can do it if you wish or not, or simply store the line passing through the first and last point in each chain. Okay, here on next slide you have an example of the contour chains obtained in our example image, and on the right part you have the straight lines obtained. Already it's not very visible, but here, for example, on the chair you can see this is a contour chain, it's not a straight line, but on the right image is a perfect straight line because the errors of all intermediate pixels in this case were smaller than the threshold value for the error, and all this contour was approximated by a single line there. Okay, this was about finding lines using contour following and then split and merge and total least squares to compute the line. Second approach to find lines or even other kind of things in an image is a global approach, is the half transform. The half transform was published on a US patent on 1967, something like that, just for that, for obtaining lines in an image. Later on, it was extended to obtain other kind of curves. The idea is, we want to obtain, for example, in the case of lines, we want to obtain lines, then we will use a parametric representation of the line and use democracy to obtain which lines are present in the image. Okay? Then, the idea is, our candidates are all possible lines in the image. Then all possible lines are pair of values, in this case of rho and theta, that represents the distance of the line to the center of the image, for example, and the orientation of the line, in this case, the orientation of the perpendicular to the line. It's more or less the same. Okay? Then our candidates will be all possible values of rho and theta. Then for our rho theta value, the equation of a line is given by this expression that you have on the slide. Well, typically, it's better to use coordinates referred to the center of the image, because then every coordinate is more balanced. You don't get more candidates on one side of the of your space than in other sides. Then you will need to transform from the typical row and column coordinate to these XY coordinates using the simple conversion. Okay, then let's use X and Y coordinates. Then, the idea, suppose that in this example we only have four contour points. Well, we will use democracy, we'll simply ask each point their opinion. Point number one, which are the straight lines you think are on the image? Okay, point number one, will vote for all lines that passes through point number one. Okay? Same for point number two. We'll give a vote to all the lines that potentially pass through itself. Same for the third pixel and the fourth pixel. The only line that will get four votes is the true line, the one that is present in the image. Okay? The rest of possible lines, at most, will get one vote. Then simply applying democracy, it's possible to find, in this case, the only existing line in the image. Okay? Well, let's implement this very simple idea. What do we need? Well, if we know the coordinates of a pixel, computing the values of all possible lines passing through this pixel is quite simple. We could simply give values to theta and obtain the raw values, the corresponding raw values, for example. Okay? One important thing. If we are using democracy, we need a finite number of candidates. Then all possible values of rho and theta is infinite. Then if you get infinite candidates, they will get zero votes each. And this doesn't work. Then you simply need to discretize the number of possible candidates simply by discretizing the space rho theta. For example, say, let's take rho values in steps of one pixel. And I don't know, maybe theta values in steps of 0.1 degrees. Okay? Then the space rho theta we'll call the transform space or the half space. Then each pixel will vote for all the lines passing through itself, and then we will try to find the most voted lines. Okay, here you have a plot of a which lines will vote each pixel. For example, pixel 1 will vote along this sinusoid in the space rho theta. Okay? If you look at this expression, this is the mathematical expression of a sinusoid. Point number two will vote along the second sinusoid, same the third, and same the fourth. If the space is discretized, you simply need to give values to theta. For each pixel, give values to theta, compute the corresponding value to rho, and in a voting table, store the votes, add the votes atomic pixel. You will get a voting table, a voting table similar to this one on the right part of the slide. Okay? In this table, if you look for maximum values, you will find these four here that corresponds to the line that is here in the intersection of the four sinusoids that corresponds to the line exactly passing through the four pixels. Okay? Well, of course, this works pretty well. There is only one single line in the image. Typically, if you have 100 or several hundred lines in an image, this voting table is much more complicated, and finding maximum values is not that trivial. Okay? But in principle, the method will work mainly to find the biggest lines in your image. Well, another optimization, an important optimization, is to take into account the orientation, for example, of the gradient. Suppose we have the same line with four pixels, and we have detected that they are control points using a gradient operator. We already know which is the direction of the gradient on each pixel. Well, if you look, this direction of the gradient corresponds to the theta value of the line. This means that for each pixel, if you already know the direction of the gradient, you more or less know the orientation of the line. This means that when computing the votes, each point only needs to vote around its gradient orientation plus minus a certain error. And that's it. Then the voting table will get many, many less votes, and it will be much easier to find the lines in your image. Then, if you think on it, the voting algorithm is quite simple. On the left part, you have the voting algorithm without using orientation of the gradient, and on the right part, using the orientation. Then it's simply the algorithm only goes through the whole image, and for each pixel, if the magnitude of the gradient is bigger than a threshold, computes the x and y coordinates, and given values to theta, obtain the corresponding value of rho, and add a vote on the corresponding rho theta cell on your voting table. And the only difference is if you use orientation, you could eliminate this for the inside for loop, and you can simply vote in the orientation computed by the gradient, or maybe in this orientation plus minus a certain error if you want. Okay? Well, more interestingly, this same idea, the half transform, can be extended to other kind of curves. For example, it can be used easily to obtain circles in an image. The only difference is that to represent a circle, you need three parameters. For example, the coordinates of the center, AB, and the radius of the circle. Then if you know the three parameters, the equation of the circle is this one, or what's the same, the coordinates xy of a pixel along the circle can be obtained with these two expressions, simply giving values to r and theta. Okay? Well, if a, b, and r are known, simply giving values to theta, you can obtain the coordinates of all points xy belonging to a circle. Well, in this case, also, if you use the orientation of the gradient, you can optimize the code. Look at this figure. Suppose we are in point xy. We know the orientation of the gradient. Then this point can belong to any circle that is whose center is along the line given by the gradient direction, then must be in any point along this line, depending on the radius of the circle. Okay? Then, if we know the radius of the circle, so we are looking for, we can simply give values to theta and obtain to theta around the value obtained by the gradient, and we can obtain the AB coordinates of the center. Okay? Well, in this case, a circle is given by three parameters. The only difference with the line case is that the Boutin table has three dimensions, A, B, and R. If the R is known, we can remove one dimension, if you know what size of circles we are looking for. But in other case, we need a three-dimensional table. Then the algorithm for computing the vote is the same. Go along the whole image. For each pixel that is a contour point, compute xy coordinates, get the orientation of the gradient, and then give values to possible values of the radius, from the minimum to the maximum value of the radius we want, compute possible values for AB, for the center, coordinates of the center, and accumulate the vote. This means this function simply says that pixel ij votes for the circle ABR. Okay? And then, once the voting is finished, look in the voting table for maximum values that correspond to the circles in the image. Okay? Well, this can be used, this has been also used, the half transform, to find other type of things in an image. Typically I would say that the half transform is a very robust technique because, well, it's democracy. Even if there are some wrong votes, at the end, in theory, you get the right answer, if the majority of the votes are more or less correct. Then it's a technique that is very robust to spurious votes. Okay? Then, for example, suppose that we have a robot with a camera on top of it that is navigating along a corridor, and we want the robot not to hit the walls. Quite a good idea. Then we want the robot to follow more or less the direction of the corridor. Okay? Well, this can be programmed in very few lines of code using the half transform. For example, suppose that we first compute edge points along the whole image with the gradient and the orientation of the gradient. Well, in a corridor, like in the picture you have here, all the lines that are longitudinal, that follow the direction of the corridor, all these straight lines converge to the same point in the image. That is, this point is located in the center of the corridor. This is a point on the horizon line. Then if our camera is horizontal, is looking horizontal, then on the middle of the image, on some pixel in the middle row of the image, is the center of the corridor. Then a simple way to find the center of the corridor is asking each contour point in our image where he thinks is the center of the corridor. Okay? Then suppose this pixel here. He knows that his gradient is pointing in this direction. Okay? Then, for him, the center of the corridor must be along this blue line, perpendicular to his gradient and passing through himself. Okay? Then, The point is able to compute this blue line and compute the intersection of this blue line with the red horizontal line, with the middle line of our image. And this point will vote for this pixel as the center of the corridor. Look at this one. This lower point, same thing. The gradient is in this direction, will compute this blue line and will vote for this same point as the center of the corridor. Okay? Then, using democracy, all control points give their votes, and at the end, most of the points will vote to pixels around this area that is the true center of the corridor. Then it's quite simple. If the center of the corridor is on the right of the image, you have to turn right, and if it's on the left of the image, you have to turn left. If you know the properties of your camera, simply by measuring the the horizontal coordinate of the center of the pixel that was voted at the center of the corridor, you can compute the angle you have to correct your trajectory to go straight to the end of the corridor. Okay? Well, in democracy, sometimes happens that groups of people conspire to give wrong votes. Okay? And then sometimes it gives the wrong candidate. In this case, for example, all horizontal lines that are along the corridor will vote to the correct pixels. But there are many other lines here that will vote for some wrong pixels. For example, all the lines that are horizontal but on the opposite direction will vote for a pixel that is on the other room outside the image, quite far away. This is not a big problem. If we know that we are more or less correctly aligned, we will never try to find a maximum on that area of the voting table. Forget about it. But there are also some other control points that will give wrong votes. For example, look in the right part of the door. There is a vertical contour, and all the points in this contour will vote to this to this point in the horizontal line. Okay? Then, if these points are, in this case, maybe 200-300 points, we will have 300 points just in this pixel. And at the end, we may get the wrong answer. Okay? Well, in this case, this can be solved using the non-democratic decision of not allowing some pixels to vote. In particular, pixels where the direction of the gradient is horizontal should not vote, because they correspond to vertical lines that are not the things that we are interested in to find the direction of the corridor. Okay? Then in this case, if vertical lines don't vote, we will get much less wrong votes, and it will be much easier to find the correct point for the center of the corridor. Okay? Then that's all. This is simply to remember. This has been used successfully, for example, to drive a car in a road. For example, looking for points in the borders of the road and using it to correct the orientation of the car. Same can be done in corridors. Well, the idea of the half transform, maybe it's not a very good approach if there are 100 lines in our image and we want to find all of them. Okay, because finding 100 lines in a voting table is not very reliable. But when we want to obtain a few things from an image, it's a very robust technique. Then here, for obtaining simply the center of the corridor, the direction, the turning direction that we need to take not to hit the wall, it's a very robust technique. Even if there are occlusions in the image, if there is people around, the technique will still work. Okay, that's all. Thank you very much for your attention.